Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege to be here, together studying your word, asking what does the Bible and the Bible only say on certain topics. And today we are going to look at a very important issue of baptism. And dear Lord, lead us through your word, lead us through the Spirit. Enlighten us. Bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, welcome back. We are nearing the end of our series. And this morning we would like to talk on an issue which is a very important topic, namely baptism. Baptism. What does the Bible teach on baptism? Now, up until now, we've studied the book of Revelation and we heard about the beast from the sea, the beast from the earth, the woman and the dragon, even the dragon with the seven heads and the ten horns. But let us always remember that the book Revelation is in actual fact all about the Lamb and not the beast. Revelation is all about those who want to worship the Lamb and not the beast. In the first book of Revelation, or the first chapter, actually the first verse of the first chapter in Revelation, it talks about Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, Jesus teaches us who God is. He shows us God the Father. And that's why the following appears in the book as well. Revelation 22:7, Behold, I come quickly, blessed is he that keeps the saying of the prophecy of this book. Revelation is a book of worship. In the 12th, the 13th, 14th chapters, we discovered this great controversy. The controversy between those who wants to worship God and those who wants to worship the beast. Now, the Bible teaches that we worship God for two reasons. In the first place, we worship Him as the Creator God. But there's also another reason, and that we find in Revelation 5. Revelation 5, let's turn to the sixth verse. And I beheld and see in the middle of the throne and of the four beasts and in the middle of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. And the four beasts said, Amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lives forever and ever. We worship God because he's our creator, but we also worship him because he's our savior. It is his death and his resurrection that gives us life. Now, God gave us certain pillars or monuments whereby we would remember him. He gave the monument of the Sabbath so that we may remember him as the Creator God. Now, today we're looking at the second pillar or second monument. The monument for his death, his funeral, his resurrection. Well, we find it in Matthew 28:18. We can in actual fact refer to this as the last words of Jesus to his disciples before he was taken up to heaven. Now, in the ordinary life, the last words of someone, last words a person utters are normally important words for his or her family. What was Grandpa's last words? You will hear the children and the grandchildren say. As if those last words had something more, something important to it. Now probably this was Jesus' last words. Matthew 28:18, and we read, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Baptism was so important to Jesus that he brought it into his last words. And yet there is so much confusion on this topic today. People ask, when must I be baptized? How must I be baptized? How many times must I be baptized? Does God approve of all types of baptism? Well, perhaps we should answer this last question first. Does God approve of all types of baptism? What does the Bible say? There's one body and one spirit, even as also ye were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. How many lords? One. How many bodies? One. How many baptisms? One. Now, this does not mean that Paul says that one can only be baptized once. That's not what it means. As a matter of fact, Paul himself came to people who were already baptized. Let's read about that. Acts 19:1. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit." They did not know about the Holy Spirit. And then he asked them, and he said to them, "To what then were you baptized? How were you then baptized?" And they said, "To John's baptism." And then said Paul, "John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ." And he started to teach them, and in the end, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were baptized again. Now, most of the times it's not necessary, but there are examples of people that were baptized but did not fully understand what the meaning of baptism was when they were baptized. There's people that after their baptism they drifted away from God and his plan for their lives, and then after many years they come back and they say, I would like to be baptized again. There are people that are not even sure whether they were baptized. They tell you, well, I was baptized when I was very small. I can't remember anything. People say that I was baptized. And then they ask to be baptized again. Most of the time it's not necessary. You're baptized and you follow the Lord. But the Bible is very clear. There's just one correct way of baptism, and that is by immersion under the water. That's what the word baptism in actual fact means in the Greek. In the Greek, the word is baptizo, which means to immerse, to cover with water. The English translators translated it correctly. Baptizo, baptism. It was not only a religious word, it was a word in the common language. A woman would want to color a piece of material, and after she'd made this bowl of coloring water, she would tell her friend, I am now going to baptizo this piece of material. I'm going to push this piece of material under the water. I'm going to immerse it. Many languages have not translated it correctly. But that's because of the fact that the time of most translations, 15th and the 16th century, the church was not baptizing by immersion anymore. The church was practicing infant baptism. But when Jesus said, go and baptize them, he was saying, go and push them under the water. Immerse them. Now, this we'll only understand when we understand the meaning of his death. Let's read. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul is talking to the Romans. And he's saying something strange here. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Why is he saying such a thing? The basic translation is, what may we say then? Are we to go on in sin so that there may be more grace? What was the problem here? Well, when Paul started to preach, he was telling people that they will not be saved by their works, but by grace only. And they who listened to him were actually upset, and they reacted in this way by saying, well, if that's true, that we will only be saved by grace, let us go on sinning, because the more we sin, the more we will receive grace. Now listen how Paul answers them. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, so that we may find more grace? God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Will we keep on sinning in order to receive more grace? God forbid. Why not? Because we're dead to sin. How can we be living in it any longer? What do you mean, Paul? How can you say that we're dead in sin or dead to sin? What does that mean? Now listen to how Paul answers this in the third verse. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You are baptized into his death, therefore you cannot keep sinning. You're baptized into his death. Listen. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. That's why you can't keep on sinning. Of course, it's grace and grace alone. Nobody will be saved through keeping the commandments, not even the Sabbath. Nobody will be saved through their works. But are you now going to keep on sinning just because you are saved by grace? No, why not? Because you're baptized. And if you're baptized, you're dead to sin. You're buried with Christ. And just as he was raised from the grave, you are also raised from the water grave into a new life. You died with him. You're buried in his death. That's what baptism means. Although you are not born with sin, you are born into a world of sin. And without Christ, you are heading for damnation. But the moment you meet Christ, that moment you are born again. You are declared righteous. And then you're buried in the water grave where you die from your old life. You come out of that water a new person, a person who now wants to live a life of obedience. That's what baptism means. And that's the reason why it's so important. It's the monument, the pillar of the fact that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, that he was resurrected. And this is the monument of his resurrection. Now, strange, isn't it? The whole Christian world today celebrate Sunday in honor of the resurrection. But the Bible nowhere states that we ought to put away a day for commemorating the resurrection. The Bible says that baptism is the monument for the death and the resurrection of Christ. And here's now the deception of Satan. The moment you put a day aside for the resurrection, you now do not have a day anymore to honor the Creator. And evolution immediately comes into the picture. And the moment you put a day aside for the resurrection, then baptism also loses its meaning. If you sprinkle, baptism loses its meaning because you are not buried and you do not rise up into a new life. This does not imply that those who were baptized as babies does not want to die for the old life. That's not what's implied here. The tragic truth, my dear friends, is that most people are not even aware of what the Bible teaches on what baptism really means. But the day when God's plan for your life becomes a reality, and when the real meaning of baptism is revealed to you and you understand it, I think that God now wants you to obey Him and obey His will in your life. And that's the important point. You see, a person can easily rationalize, and you can find many reasons why you cannot do what God expects you to do. Look at Cain and Abel. Abel obeys God. He does what God asks him to do. He sacrifices a lamb. But his brother Cain rationalizes and says, you know what, my brother is a stock farmer. I've only got fruit and vegetables. But I'll bring some of my fruit as a sacrifice. The juice of this fruit also looks like blood. In any case, it's just a symbol. It need not be real blood. That lamb of my brother is not going to save us. It's just a symbol. My symbol is as good as my brother's symbol. God will understand. But you know what, dear friends? God did not understand. He accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he rejected Cain's sacrifice. Cain became so angry that he took his brother's life. Why? Because of the way of worship. That's why we should be alert to the fact that the way of worship is going to be a very real reality at the end of time. People who wants to do exactly what God expects them to do will easily be rejected by them who rationalize. A lot of water, a little water, what's the difference? It does not really matter. It's just a symbol. God will understand. Now, dear friends, if I read my Bible correctly, I'm sorry to say God means everything He says. And the real question is, do I trust Him? Do I believe what He says? If God comes and He says, immerse, am I now going to say no? That's not so important. We are going to sprinkle. It's much easier. It's much more convenient. Well, in actual fact, we read in John 3:23, the biblical way, and John also was baptizing in Enon near Salim because there was much water there. But in the year 1311, during the Council of Ravenna, the Roman Catholic Church changed the baptism to baby baptism. It was instituted. The reason being, and they're quite frank on it, the reason, because it's a more convenient way of baptism. It's quite clear. And it is. It is. It's much more convenient to get a little bowl of water and to sprinkle than to prepare a place or a font where there's enough water to immerse a whole body. So for many centuries, the church has had it biblically right. And then the church started to rationalize and say, you know what, it's just a symbol. God will not really care. From now on, we're going to sprinkle. But God said, baptizo, immerse, not sprinkle. Now, at this point, you might say, all right, I understand, but is it really that important? To clarify that, we should actually just quickly go to Peter again, 1 Peter 3:20. Listen what he says. Which sometime were disobedient. He was talking about the flood and the people in those days. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Now, Peter is talking about the flood of Noah. He's referring to those who were not obedient. Only a few were saved. Those who were obedient. And then he says something strange. The like figure, the flood, whereunto even baptism does also now save us. But what do you mean, Peter? Our baptism does not save us. We're not saved by doing something. How can you say that baptism is going to save us? Now, listen how he puts it. Even like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, we are not saved because we are baptized. We are baptized because we are saved through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus used the flood to cleanse the earth from sin and a new life with new life and a new earth was the result of that flood. And that's precisely what the meaning is of baptism and the significance of baptism. To wash away sin. To wash away sin and to rise from that water into a new life. A new person leaving the old life behind. That does not mean you become sinless now. That means that you are now going to be obedient. You're leaving your old life behind. How can baptism save you? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. He never sinned. Let's read John says something. Jesus comes to him and asks him to baptize him. Matthew 3:13, then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and come you to me. Listen to how Jesus answers him. And Jesus answering said to him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he baptized him. It must be done to fulfill all righteousness. That was why Jesus was baptized, to fulfill all righteousness. We sinned. The wages of sin is death. And to fulfill this righteousness, he came and he died, he rose. He was also baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And when we accept him, his perfect life stands in our place. My baptism, your baptism cannot save you, but Jesus' baptism is good enough. His resurrection saves us. That's how the thief on the cross got saved. He was never baptized. But Jesus' baptism and resurrection was good enough for him. Noah was not saved because he built the ark. Noah built the ark because he was saved. We are not baptized to be saved. We are baptized because we are saved. Now, here's a very sensitive question. I hesitate to ask it, but it's relevant. Can one accept the blood sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and then ignore his call to be baptized, and then still maintain that I am busy following him? That's the question. Now you might say, now, yeah, all right, I understand, but what do I need to do to be baptized? The Bible has a few conditions. The first we find in Mark 16, verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus said. Baptism is for believers. There's nothing magical in this water. Believe and go through the water. But there's something that's implied here. One needs to be old enough to understand. A baby cannot understand. Therefore, they need to be dedicated to the Lord, as Mary and Joseph did with the baby Jesus when he was very young. The children should be dedicated, as the Bible teaches, and parents should then lead that child to the place in his or her life where they themselves ask for baptism. And then a second condition, go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That implies baptism by immersion once, not three times. In the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Why not? Well, the Father did not die for us. The Holy Spirit did not die for us. But the Son did. Once. For Christ also has once suffered for sins. Because Christ also suffered for sins once. Another translation, 1 Peter 3:18. Immersion by water once. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Trinity. But Matthew 28 also implies a change in our life after baptism. We cannot just drag our old life with us. Carry on. get out of the water and just carry on as if nothing has happened. We cannot just keep on sinning. As I said, it does not mean we are becoming sinless. But now we strive not to sin, not to intentionally disobey God's commandments. A third condition, at Pentecost they came to Peter and they asked him, what do we need to do to be saved? Listen to Peter, in Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? Then Peter answers them and he said unto them, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Repentance, remorse, confession. Luke 3:3 says the following, and he came unto all the region, that's now John the Baptist, about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance unto remission of sins. Baptism is actually a public demonstration of my repentance, my confession, the confession of my sins, my remorse, and the reversal of my life of sin. What does repentance mean? Well, it means, as it's stated here in the Bible, they were pricked in their hearts, deep in their hearts. You are so full of remorse in your heart, not only with your lips. You're so sorry that you never want to sin again. You hate it when you sin. You hate it that you've just lost your temper again against your wife or your employees or your children. I hate it that it has happened again, and I pray, Lord, please, dear Lord, help me to do it not again. Not again. Lord, never again. Help me to never, 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 never. Dear Lord, help me so that I never do this again. That's repentance or remorse. Now, when must I be baptized? In Acts 8, we find the story of Philip on his way to Gaza from Jerusalem. He meets a man from Ethiopia. He's on his chariot reading the prophet Isaiah. He's not understanding what he's reading. He's reading from Isaiah 53 about the lamb led to slaughter. Let's read it. Acts 8:30. And Philip, running up to him, saw that he was reading Isaiah, the prophet, and said to him, is the sense of what you are reading clear to you? And he said, how is that possible when I have no guide? And he made Philip get up by his side. Now, the place in the book where he was reading was this. He was taken like a sheep to be put to death, and as a lamb is quiet when its wool is being cut, so he made no sound. So Philip started from this writing, gave him the good news about Jesus. And while they were going on their way, they came to some water. And the Ethiopian said, see, here is water. Why may I not have baptism? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the Enoch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, does not sound like a sprinkling, does it? But the point here, dear friends, is this. When this man was ready, he was baptized. He was not even at home. He was in a foreign country. When somebody is ready to be baptized, the process to bring him to that water must commence. He's not saying, listen, I want to go home first. I want to think this over. I want to discuss this with my parents or my family. He's not saying, listen, next month is my birthday. I think it's a nice day to be baptized. He does not say, I've still got work to be completed at home, and then when I'm finished, I'll come back to you. No, that's not the meaning of baptism. It's much more important than that. For baptism is the desire to die and to rise into a new life, and he's ready now, and he should be baptized now. Let's turn to Acts 16. Paul and Silas on their way, and they arrive in Philippi. They preach to the people. The people get angry. They arrest them. They chain them. They throw them into prison. And then we read, in Acts 16:25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And the next moment there was a big earthquake. The doors flew open, the chains came loose from their feet and arms. The warden awakes, realizes what happens, fears for his life. Listen, we read. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. He knew that was what's going to happen to him. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Yes, the chains has been broken. The doors are open, but we're still all here. Don't harm yourself. Then he called for a light, sprang in, and became trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his immediately. What was the time? Midnight. He was immediately baptized. He did not even want to wait for the sun to rise. Baptism is important. Baptism is serious. Baptism is urgent. The moment someone understands that Jesus wants him or her to follow him through the water, to be buried with him, to rise with him into a new life, when somebody understands that, Jesus wants them to be baptized. They should be taken by the hand, and they should be taken through this process as quickly as possible to the water. Now, let's turn to Acts 22. This is Saul on his way from Tarsus to Damascus. To do what? To persecute the followers of Jesus, to kill them. But Jesus stops him. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come near to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. The conversion of Saul. Who are you, Lord? He recognizes immediately that here is something that he needs to adhere to. And that's the moment of his conversion. What have I to do, Lord? Saul becomes Paul. Now, listen to the rest of this amazing story. I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told you all things which are appointed for you to do. And because I was unable to see because of the glory of that light, those who were with me took me by the hand, and so I came into Damascus. And one, Ananias, a God-fearing man who kept the law, and of whom all the Jews in that place had an high opinion, and came to me and said, Brother Saul, let your eyes be open. And in that very hour I was able to see. The miracle has taken place. And then he said the following. Listen, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. Now listen, for you shall be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Listen, and now, why are you waiting? Get up and have baptism for the washing away of your sins, giving worship to his name. Paul, Saul, get up. Be baptized. Have your sins washed away. Even that sin of murder which you've just committed when you were standing at the stoning of Stephen. And you were in charge. Paul, let that sin be washed away, and all your sins from the moment of your birth. My brother and sister, I cannot tell you what it means to be standing in that water at the age of 60 years of age and believe, as the Bible says, that every sin of yours since your birth that day up until this day is washed away. I cannot describe that feeling. Get up, be baptized, so that your sins can be washed away. A last example. John is busy baptizing in the Jordan River. He looks up. He sees Jesus. He points to him and he says, there is the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world. John 1:29. The next day John sees Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. And what he sees next, he can hardly believe. The sinless Son of God stepping down into the muddy water of the Jordan River, saying, John, baptize me. And John says, Lord, I'm not worthy. And Jesus says, suffer it to be now. So now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John baptized him, the Son of God. And when he came out of the water, they heard the voice out of heaven, this is my beloved Son. Now picture this for a moment. Jesus comes up out of the water on the banks of the Jordan River, and he meets a man coming towards him, and he asks this man, are you baptized? And the man says, no, I'm not. And Jesus answers him and he says to him, listen, I have just been baptized. And the man looks at him and he says, well, it might have been necessary for you to be baptized, but I do not think that it is necessary for me to be baptized. Do you also think that there's something wrong now? If the sinless Son of God saw it necessary to be baptized, what about you and me? May God be very near to you while the Spirit is talking to you. Fear not. You will hear a voice, Isaiah 30:21, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. May God be with you.